We are the world. And that beautiful creative power, that intelligence that's moving through us, I find it hard to resist it, you know? I gotta let it move through me and move me. You were saved by not being able to see all that. But it's good. It's good. So, thank you. Thank you, guys. That was just beautiful. We began the month and the season of light, paying attention to what we are illuminating in our lives and what is being illuminated within us, and what we are doing to bring more light into the world by recognizing the light that is, always has been, and always will be, the light of oneness. So the first week, the light of compassion moves us into the light, reminding us we do not need to hide or cloak in darkness any idea of separation, pain, or loneliness. It is compassion that evokes our caring and inspires such beautiful ideas as Hafiz, who said, "I wish I could show you, when you're lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." Compassion empowers us with grace and the awareness of the power you have when you hold someone's heart and dignity in your hands. The next week, the light of wholeness, it shines in us. It illuminates that which we see and hear with truth, and it shines upon us, including us in the allness of life. In the light of wholeness, we gather what has been scattered. We bring the pieces of the whole. We reunite ourselves and each other with the one life, the life of all. In the light of wholeness, we learn to balance the workings of the inner and the outer self. And the light of our own being is the essence of who we are, and that light is God, becomes our own reality. To feel we are aglow with the light of God is to know our wholeness. Last week, the light of love, shining brightly as we entered into the holy week of Christmas. Again and again and again, we are reminded divine love has the power to change any situation forever. We are each the beloved, meant to be loved. Our love can never dissipate. It only expands. Love, the most powerful force in the universe, is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. The light of love shines in you and for you and proclaims the essence of your life, the presence of God. Each of these brings us to the light of oneness. In the light of oneness, we know that it has been shining throughout all eternity. What changes is our awareness of it, the capital I, it. It has never increased nor diminished. What increases is our consciousness of our oneness with all life. And what decreases is our conscious awareness of our oneness with the essence of life. It is that which we continuously deny and demand with almost equal enthusiasm. The power, known by many names, which we often call God, Spirit, Divine Mind, is all there is. So we do deny our oneness with life without any real awareness that we are doing so. And it's the way that we distance ourselves from Spirit, from God. And we proclaim, we declare, we assert that we are one. But all we really need to do is pay attention to how we feel when we hear each other's story. And then we know that what we are talking about is what we are experiencing. And we come to realize that we have nothing to prove, only to live. We don't need to prove our oneness. We don't need to prove it to ourselves or to anyone else. We let it live us. And there is no bigger idea than the one that we all, each of us, are, an individualization of the one life. We don't need to magnify it or make it more significant, make it more meaningful. We don't need to build it up. It already is. In fact, it might be, consider, that in all of that trying to make it so magnificent, that we actually take away from it. The last few sentences that Fred shared with us in that beautiful reading from Ernest Holmes, they were, "My mind is a holy transmission of God's ideas. My body glows with God's victorious life. My environment is pregnant with good, and love flows to me from all whom I know." And if that weren't enough, Ernest Holmes continues, "I sense my spiritual importance. I lose my false sense of human importance." Do you want that again? "I sense my spiritual importance. I lose my false sense of human importance. Knowing my divinity, my human ego retires to its right functioning." Let me give it to you again. "Knowing my divinity, my human ego retires to its right functioning." It has a place, but let's let it be where it belongs. He continues, "My only boast is that his mind, its mind, now acts through me. This is true consecration to truth, letting go of all material pettiness. I become the greatness of God, releasing the untrue and the unworthy. I accept ideas which transform me and all my affairs." And I think it was Emerson who said, "Get thy bloated nothingness out of the way." If it wasn't him, y'all know. So, can we do that? Can we continuously, in all of the activities of our life, when we're just astounded by the magnificence of it and the greatness of it, realize what it is? That it is the power, the presence, and the authority of divine love moving through us. It is the essence of who we are being made known, because we are a willing portal through which it, that divinity of God, is being poured forth. And can we relax into the light of wholeness and consider we don't need to try so hard with each other, but recognize that we are one with God, and God is encompassing of all. So it isn't that I need to look out here and say and know I am one with you. I am suggesting what we do is we look within and say and know I am one with the allness of life, which is inclusive of everything and everyone, all life. It's much harder in my human mind to look out here and say I am one with that. It's a little bit hard. However, if I simply go within and know I am one with the one, that which is breathing my breath and thinking my thought, that which is pouring itself into me and through me and as me, and as this is true for me, it is true for all of life, then there is nothing that I need to even do to know my oneness with you. There is nothing I need to make so. It already is. It is my awareness of it. It is my acceptance of it. It is my living it and allowing it to live me. So, as we understand that the one life that is God is encompassing of all, we become partners in life, colleagues in the highest idea. And not just on the same team, we are the one team, and not just tuning into the life that is God, we come to experience life is living us, expressing us, to understand and accept this mighty moving power that is back of all life, that is shaping the light of oneness upon us and within us. Our understanding and agreement with the almighty power that is infinite love moving in and through us makes us magnificent, valuable expressions of the one, maybe even a most valuable player I must have been watching football last night. But you know, it is in our human competitiveness that we think that it is limited to a person, this idea. It's really only true in our sports teams. On the field of the creative life of God, on the field of the creative life of God, all are MVPs. And we might well remember, everyone is playing their part perfectly. It couldn't be any other way. Remember, that which is sourcing us, that which is moving through us, that which is living us is the one. Everyone is playing their part perfectly. Albert Einstein said, we experience ourselves, our thoughts and feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that just magnificent that Albert Einstein had this insight and this awareness of how we were viewing each other, and that we might consider it as an optical illusion of separateness? And it is our belief in separateness that most impedes our experience of oneness. We are often so afraid of the unknown that we fill in the blanks quickly with whatever is at hand. And it's in those moments of stress or of uncertainty that what is at hand is not the truth. And so what we're filling in the blanks with is not the truth. We fill in the blanks based on our fear, and all that we can imagine can go wrong in our worst case scenario. So I just really want to take a moment with this, because we've learned throughout many experiences of life how important the space is, how important it is to not try to fill it. As musicians, I know y'all teach this. You got to have the rests. You got to have the space between the notes for the notes to make sense. Each of us needs the space in order for the movement to make sense. And in class in particular, I'm very fond of reminding us to let there be silence, to let there be a rest, a pause, so that we can allow spirit to reveal itself, so that we can allow spirit to show us its magnificence. Because I know that as magnificent as I call it, I name it, I claim it, I describe it, I can only get this much of it. And so more and more often, if I'm just willing to be still and allow it to reveal its magnificence, I will be awed. We are to varying degrees understanding that we have come to understand. I said that on purpose like that. That we are not victims. Each of us, I know, has had an awareness about this idea, that we have realized that not being a victim of life is one of the first things that we come up against, that we come face to face with, that life is not just happening to me. Because so many times it feels like that. Life is happening to me. And when we get to that place, when we get to that awareness, when we feel spirit and it speaks to us and we hear, oh, Patty, it's not all happening to you. It might actually be happening by you. You have something to say about how this life is unfolding. I am in you and through you and as you. Oh. And then we come to have this awareness, this partnership with that power. And we come to realize that it is responding to us. And we are responding to it. And it is responding to us, and we are one. We come to understand that taking our power back is a divine idea. And it's a powerful mantra. And it is actually more completely fulfilled as we recognize and know that we let go and let the divine, that mighty moving power, do its good work. We have to understand that the power is responding to us. And we really need to understand that it is sufficient to all and moving through us. It is the awareness of personal powers, that power that moves us off the bench and onto the field, off the sidelines of watching and into engaging in the most activity of life, the most magnificent activity of life, the activity of love, the activity of compassion, the activity of truth and peace. And we do this to varying degrees and levels. The more we understand that we are not giving ourselves up, but giving expression to the essence of ourselves, the more we experience and live in the light of oneness. The divine idea that is the oneness of life is not something which occurs. It's not something we birth within ourselves or someone else. It is a truth that we become increasingly aware of and one with, for we are one with it, the capital I-T, it. And if there is one life and we are each a part of it and we are all connected to it, then we cannot disconnect from it, except in our own thinking, except in our own ways that we disparage it or distance from it. We come to recognize and accept that we are each working with the same source, the same creative power, the same creative energy and presence, and it is being shaped individually by each of us as we become the portal through which it is being poured forth. And so our job is to, yes, take our power back and realize that that mighty moving power that wants simply to give of itself and express the magnificence that it is, does so out of our willingness to let it be magnificent. Do we limit our experience of the good of life by saying, oh, yeah, but I'm only this. I'm only this much. And then we let that determine the exceptional quality of our life. Or do we in fact recognize that there's only one thing going on? One thing going on, and it is the movement, it is the expression of the divine. And we are the individualizations through which it is being poured forth. I experience that the light of oneness is brighter than ever before. I say that because I notice the way that we hear each other's story, the way that we witness pain, the way that we witness sorrow, the way that we witness joy, the way that we witness each other, and the way that we share our stories, regardless of our different ways of living. I think if we were to look back 20 years ago, we would see how differently we view life, how we have allowed rituals and the practice of lighting the candles to remind us of our oneness with life, the interfaith communities that we have, the various groups that we have that remind us that we are all sharing in the one life. So I notice that we can't help but look out for each other. We can't help but respond to what we're seeing out here in life. Why can't we help it? It's not like anyone needs fixing. It's not like anyone is broken. And yet, there's something in us that sees the disharmony and sees the pain and sees the sorrow and sees the disruption and wants to help. And I would say that that yearning that we notice within ourselves is because we are one. And where one part of me is at dis-ease, the other part of me
wants to and automatically does reach out, extend to be part of the healing. I can't look out here and see the discomfort without responding to it. But it isn't because I'm here to fix someone. It's because we share the same life. It's been magnified for us, has it not? This idea that we're all in this together, this desire to reach out and connect. And yet I would remind us that everything you could ever need is already yours and is expressing you now. It is expressing me now. And so when we hold up that light of compassion, the light of wholeness, the light of love for and with each other, it's not out of that I have something that you need. It's out of that together we recognize our oneness and fulfill that. Taking on the burden of responsibility for the pain and the suffering of each other is one approach. And the other approach is to remember the power in looking at it as though we are a part of the whole. So I also believe, and I've come to realize, that we have discovered what we have in common is far greater than the strategies and the approaches and the solutions to fix what is broken. What we have in common is the spark of life. We have come to know there is a spark of divinity within ourselves and within all life. And we also can and must recognize and appreciate and value as our understanding expands. We come to realize that that spark is an essence of our life. It's a glowing ember. And it penetrates and it saturates and it permeates into every nook and cranny of our life. We have many affirmations that we use to remind us of our oneness, of our wholeness, of our goodness. And one of them that I know that we've shared is, I am aware of the divine presence in my life now. I am aware of the divine presence in my life now. And when we take that in and we feel it, does it not feel so at ease? And then, let us become aware. I am aware of the divine presence everywhere, expressing through everyone. Every time we claim and we know that truth, that power, that presence for ourselves, can we take it and know it for all of life? Eckhart Tolle wrote, "In the stillness of your presence, you can feel your own formless and timeless reality as the unmanifested life that animates your physical form. You can then feel the same life deep within every other human and every other creature. You look beyond the veil of form and separation. This is the realization of oneness, of love." And so we approach the belief in separation from every direction. And when we can't see how life, events, and conditions are connected, we have things that we can do. For example, relax. It's so underused and overstated. And do we even know what it means? It's one of those life lessons to discover, oh, what does that really mean, Patty? Relax. Clear your mind. Examine what is and allow the space between. We might contemplate on a regular basis truths so that in those moments, the relaxing is natural. In our breath, we actually relax. So what are some of those ideas that we might contemplate and think of on a regular basis so that they are already there in the moment of uncertainty? I have a few for you. Beyond surface appearances, everything is fundamentally one. Although many seemingly separate things exist, they are all part of the same whole. At the most basic level of reality, everything is one. The separation among individual things is an illusion. In reality, everything is one. Everything is composed of the same basic substance, whether one thinks of it as spirit, consciousness, quantum processes, or whatever. The same basic essence permeates everything that exists.